I am looking at the subject this morning. Secrets of rising to the top. Part 2. The text is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Our objective this morning is to understand what it takes to go up in life, to rise to the top. We have established severally that the plan and the purpose of God is for the children of God to occupy the top realm in every field. He said, we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Whatever realm, whatever be your profession, your career, the purpose of God is to be at the top of that realm, at the top of that career. So that realm can be influenced from the top down. So that the system can be positively influenced. So that you are able to minister to people in authority like yourself who don't know God. So that you can exist as a positive role model for young people coming. So you can be a voice and a force for the kingdom. So that when it is time for the kingdom to be spoken for or defended, you are there. We said all that the whole of last Sunday, and I think if you were not there, you should get the message. And then by Wednesday, we started looking at the secrets of rising to the top. Please understand that God is a God of principles. It is when we follow his principles that we access his products. Following the standards of God makes people to stand out in life. Following his standards. What are these principles and what are these standards required for you to become a Daniel who was the number one politician in Babylon, to become a Joseph who was the number one star in Egypt, to become an Esther who was the number one lady in the Persian Empire, to become a Job, who was the greatest of all the men of the East, to become a Nehemiah, to become a modern day John D. Rockefeller, to become a modern day Wallace Johnson, Michael Faraday, Isaac Newton, all Christians, Bible believing, solid Christians. What does it take to become a lot to know? Or the American 5-star general, solid Bible believing Christian Douglas MacArthur, fought the First World War, fought the Second World War, was called to help Korea and recover Seoul, Korea back. In the middle of the Korean War, solid Christian child of God, the youngest chief of army staff in the history of American army till then, at the age of 51. What does it take to be such a person in your field and in your realm? We started seeing from Wednesday, the first key is seeking God first, called the God first existence. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And we saw the examples of people that sought God first, like King Uzziah, who sought God first, like Abraham, who sought God first. We said it's not possible to put God first and come last in life. There are those who do other things first before they remember that there is a God. That the place you give to God determines the place God gives you. That woman's testimony said it all. The voice told him, your mother has paid the price. He was meant to be wasted, but he couldn't be killed. That was number one. Number two was vision for the top. God told Abraham, all the place where your eyes can see, I will take you there. Joseph dreamt and saw himself in the palace before he reached there. What you see today determines where you find yourself tomorrow. When the mind is empty, life is empty. What is not within your view is beyond your reach. What is not within your view is beyond your reach. Where you don't see yourself, you can't find yourself. When you tell some people, oh, God will do so and so for you, they say, oh, that's monkey banana. For as long as they agree that they are monkeys, then they cannot have even banana to eat. I see myself consistently on top, consistently in charge. In fact, as early as my university days, I told God, anywhere it is possible for a human flesh to reach in the supernatural and with you, that is where I want to reach. Tell me what to do to get there. That is the realm you can reach, and you are still a man, not a spirit. You are still a person. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? It is vision for the top. What do you see? What is it that crosses your mind? There are those who see failure, see frustration, see hopelessness, and life continues to be like that. Now, we looked at this on Wednesday, and we shall not go into too much detail. Number three, which is where we are starting for today, is living uprightly. Living uprightly. Let me say two things. Living upright is key to ending right up. You want to end right up. You have to live upright. Job, in Job chapter 1 verse 1, Job was an upright man. Feared God. Perfect. No wonder. He was the greatest in the East. Job 27 verse 3 to 6. He said, all the while my breath is in me and the spirit of God is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness and my tongue shall not utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you till I die. I will not remove my integrity from me. No wonder. He said, my righteousness I hold fast. I won't let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. No wonder. He ended right on top. Joseph. Joseph. You know the story of Joseph. Joseph was the one who was always bringing the evil report of his brothers. In Genesis chapter 37 verse 2. Genesis 37 verse 2. We saw how he brought the evil report, which means he was living upright. In Genesis 39 verse 9, he told Potiphar's wife, how can I do this wickedness? 39 verse 9. In Genesis 42 verse 18, he said, I fear God. I fear God. Am I communicating? That was Joseph.
Then you know of Daniel. Daniel in Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. Daniel proposed in his heart that he will not defile himself. Daniel, you see, we saw Job, the greatest. We saw Joseph, the topmost. Then we have seen Daniel, the most relevant person in the whole of Babylon, Medo-Persian Empire, who reigned through the reign of four kings. That's Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, Cyrus. He was a principal officer in all those kingdoms. What was his secret? Uprightness. Daniel chapter 6 verse 4 to 5. Daniel 6 4 to 5. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Am I communicating at all? Uprightness. Don't let anybody deceive you. Upright people go right up. They go right up. Even among unbelievers. I read a book of Bill Gates some time ago. It was titled Business at the Speed of Thought. And one thing that struck me there, they said he was a family man. If he wasn't doing business, that is, I don't know of his faith. But even whatever be his faith, him, his wife Melinda, and then he said if he was not at business, he was with his wife and children. Warren Buffett, the same thing. He's 80-something, heading to 90 now. Hooked to his wife like that for close to 60-something or more years. John D. Rockefeller never tasted alcohol and never smoked. From a child, his mother brought him up and taught him to start tithing from $1. We are talking about even in the secular realm. Am I communicating at all? Iniquity corrupts destiny. Lying, cheating, stealing, and all this negative life, it destroys life and destiny. See people who sin grow older than their age mates. It does. Now, listen to a second point I'll make and then we'll move from there. The weight of sin arrests the speed of life. The weight of sin arrests the speed of life. The weight of sin also arrests the liftings of life. There is a weight you carry that will make you to slow down. You are not able to run fast. There is a weight you carry that is unable to make you rise up the way you should. See what scripture says. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1. He said, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. See? The weight that slows us down, lay it aside so you can run. There are weights that forbid your running. When we were young men, age 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, there were some young men that weighed their life down with boyfriend and girlfriend. When they should be calculating destiny, when they should be orchestrating for progress, when they should be calculating where to go and what impact to make on it. I remember investing those days, as far back as when we were there, some young men would be camping some girls in their room. They will come out very early in the morning before the men come out to make the girl go and bath in the men's bathroom. And then you stand at security at the door. Those people, they are faded. I can't see one of them. I remember when I was in third year medicine, one young man, fifth year medicine, intelligent young man, fifth year, he was camping girls and doing all manner of rubbish. That young man till today, maybe close to 30 years, he doesn't have any address. The weight of sin, it slows down the speed of life. Little secondary school children here that are here, don't let anybody lure you into boyfriend, girlfriend. You have nothing to think in that realm until you are maybe 1 year to getting married. Anybody tell you, I want us to be friends, girlfriend, but it's a distraction. A distraction of destiny. Take your seat. God bless you. You're all good children. I wish I went to the kind of school you are going now. I can't be at this level now. I used to tell them, if I went to your type of school, I won't be at this level now. Praise the Lord. Look at what the Bible said in Psalm 24, verse 3. Psalm 24, verse 3. Who shall ascend? See, is there anybody who wants to go up? Who shall ascend? Who shall ascend into the hill of God? Who wants to go to the top, the realm where God is? Who shall stand in his holy place? Who shall ascend? He said, he that has clean hands is not doing bribery and corruption. He that has a pure heart, he has not tied himself down with bitterness, with impure pictures and movies and films. He has not lifted himself to vanity, telling lies, vanitious lies. He has not sworn deceitfully, he's not a liar. This person shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of Jacob. You want God to take you up in your career, in your field, and in your realm. A clean hand, a pure heart. Just drop the weight of sin so you can gain your speed in life. Somebody say amen. So the first point we saw on Wednesday was seeking God first. The God first mentality. The second thing is vision for the top. And this morning we have seen living uprightly. Number four is scriptural light. Scriptural light. Light from scripture is key to both lift and flight in life. Light from scripture. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 said, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Arise, shine, for your light is come. Light from scripture. It assists both the lift and the flight. Galatians chapter 2 verse 2, Paul the apostle said, and I went up by revelation. I went up by revelation. Revelation will always bring elevation. The reason why we are not at the same level, all of us, variously, is because we don't see the same things. When God's servant Bishop Oyedepo gave his life to Christ, many of his friends, he grew up with many people, but they are not all at the same level today because we see differently. Because we see differently, we occupy different levels. Somebody say amen. Somebody say it louder, amen. Somebody say the loud most amen. Let me say this to you. What you see out of scripture determines what you will see out of life. What you see out of scripture will determine what you can see out of life. Second Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. It says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We all, what we see out of scripture determines what we can see out of life. What we see out of scripture determines where we will find ourselves in life. They say people from your village don't cross a certain level. Then suddenly you saw from scripture that you are not from that village. Because if any man is in Christ Jesus, it's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become new. Anybody in Christ Jesus began to live a life afresh. And his life does not take root from his village anymore. His life is taking root from the life of Christ. The Bible says we are strangers in this world. We are citizens of heaven. So where are you from? Heaven. What about your village? It was your port of arrival. If I go to Lagos now and I land in Lagos airport, am I from Lagos? Lagos was my port of arrival. I can go to America today. I have a program there next month. The Redeemed Christian Church of God, the North American Convention. I'll be preaching there. And then, it's in Dallas, Texas. I'm saying this deliberately because of those watching online. So that you can be there. I might land in New York. I might land in Houston. I might land anywhere else. But where I'm going is Dallas, Texas. Alright? If I land in New York, does it mean I am from New York? Does it mean I'm stopping in New York? I'm still going to Dallas. If you land in that village, does it mean you are from that village? Does it mean that village can stop you? When we see light from scripture and we explode with audacity, it is called faith. You just saw something. All of a sudden, something that has been a fear in your heart dies because you saw something. And you began to act in the light of the power of what you saw. And then you see results. Please take your seat. Papa Yedepa said he wrote an exam one day. And it was a bad exam for everybody. And one of his friends said, baby, how was the exam? He said, excellent. That was Jesus. And the young man said, who can pass this exam? He said, nobody will pass. He said, minus me. All of you have the right to fail. And that was how it was. All of you, according to it, because we are not operating in the same realm. Is God speaking to somebody here? So your light of revelation, it's what determines. Lift up your right and say, Father. Say, Father, open my eyes to see my life on the top, not on the floor. To see myself where you see me, and I will find myself there. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. That was number four. Number five is existing as a blessing. When your life is a blessing, you cannot exist on the ground. Existing as a blessing to humanity, a blessing to the kingdom. Here is a widow whose life you are touching. Here is an orphan whose life you are touching. Here are stranded people whose lives you are touching. Here are, village ministers whose lives you are touching. And so on and so forth. And then the kingdom of God is advancing courtesy of your impute into the kingdom. Or rather, you have made up your mind that the kingdom cannot be happening and I am not involved. And when you are a blessing like that, you can't remain at it on the floor. Genesis chapter 12 verse 3. God said to Abraham, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Verse 2. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And all this is surrounding the fact that thou shalt be a blessing. How many of you know that being rich does not automatically mean being a giver? How many of you have seen a stingy rich man before? Plenty. We can do run on it. Plenty. You see, a very, very wealthy man here, and then everybody in his family is stranded. And he's happy to have his soul. Say, you take 20,000. You take 1,000. He could have established that one up to a point where it doesn't come to him for 20,000 anymore. So, don't say it's because God blessed Abraham that Abraham became a blessing. No. It is the heart for being a blessing that provokes being blessed of God. Am I communicating? Take your seat. Let me say it like this. To decide to be a blessing is to attract the blessing of God. To exist as, in fact, to decide and to exist as a blessing is to attract the blessing of God. When you say, Lord, the reason why I am alive is for humanity to be helped, is for the kingdom to go forward, then you have pre-qualified yourself to be blessed of God. When I was a student in the university, pocket money that I was given, I like you to hear this because people don't, it's inside people's story, you know their secret. We were cooking in our room. My room and my classmate, my roommate and one other squatter. And then there was some floaters. The food in the room was free for all. In fact, one day we came and realized that a young man from the floor above us came and carried the soup, Yabadaya. Just carried the soup because he knew the place was a place for the feeding of everybody. The pocket money that I was collecting from home, I kept it in a place where my roommate can access. Hello? That is, in case you need to take charge of, the money is here. In fact, we kept the money together. It was there. Whether he had money or not, there was one place where the money was. Inside the wardrobe suit pocket. Feel free to take. That was how it was. As a student, I was buying university form for students. One is a Lieutenant Colonel equivalent in the Navy now, an architect. He was the one who reminded me. He said, the remedial form I bought when I came to the university, you bought it for me. So God saw us at that level with tiny. One pastor told me some time ago, he said, I was the one, I gave him transport money as a student. Now, one day, my secretary here was talking with some people and said, do you know the pastor? He said, I know him from university. He said, whatever he's doing now is real, is genuine. He has been doing it since. He said, at that time, he will preach to us in the taxi and pay the taxi fare of everybody who heard the preaching. And that is true. So, give your life to Christ. It is well with you. Taxi, please. I'm paying for everybody. Don't bother. Just go and think over what I preached. God saw it then. And he said, if I take this boy up, many will be helped. We don't know the number of people on our scholarship now. Church has a different scholarship. My wife and I will have a different scholarship list. It's not that they are not countable. It's just that I don't know the number. They could be counted, but I don't know the number. One day we went to Makurdi, and I was preaching in our church in Makurdi, and a young girl came. I said, good morning, sir. And I said, how are you? And my wife said, this is so-and-so. Mentioned the name, and I said, What does that name mean? He said, she is one of those that we are paying school fees for in Benue State University. She and her sister. She's in 300 level now. I said, oh, how are you? She's reading this. The sister is reading engineering. God bless you. And the sister graduated. Not too long ago, she came to the office, the same girl. She said, thank you, sir. I came to let you know I have graduated and I am working in the bank now. Apart from coming to tell us she's working in the bank, she also came to find out if we can bank with their bank. She also came for business. She dropped her first salary. She brought her first salary, dropped her first salary as first fruit. Do you understand? God knows. You see, if you have a heart to bless your generation, you can't be stranded. And don't think it is when I become a millionaire. I was doing it from my pocket money in the school. You can start where you are. Listen to this and don't forget it as I round up. When you change the level for people, God changes the level for you. Don't forget it. Life is a seed. Whatsoever a man sows, that he reaps. If you make up your mind to be a level changer for people, God becomes the level changer for your life. When you make up your mind to be the level changer for people, God becomes the level changer for your life. Is God speaking to anybody here? Say amen. Hallelujah. Is God speaking to anybody at all? Life is a seed. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 to 8. He said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Change their level. And God will change your level. I told the principal of our school, I said, if any of the children in the examination class who needs to be a boarding student so that they can prepare well for the exam, if they don't have school fees, maybe their parents don't have school fees, let me know. I will pay. People think that people are running school for money. This one is not so. And that was what happened. Oh, this one is SS3. They need to be in school to write exam and the campaign. Why not? We are paid. We are paid. Oh, this one is in JS3. Oh, no. It's been paid. The other day I was passing there and one of the SS3 students ran to me and said, excuse me, sir. I was a day student before, but as the exam came, I want to become boarding. We don't have money to pay. I said, come, how fast can you come to school? Be there tomorrow. Tell your mother it is done. As I passed there yesterday, I saw her. And I said, how are you? She said, fine. Writing the exam. See, God is, and we are not doing it for bragging. The only reason why this is being said is because until examples are shared, principles are not understood. God knows our heart. God forbid that we brag on an issue like this. But people don't understand things until take yourself. Hallelujah. So this is very, very important. Change the level for people and God will change your level. And finally, it is functioning in excellence. That is our key number six. Let me start again. The first we saw on Wednesday was seeking God first. Second is vision for the top. Third is living uprightly. Fourth is scriptural life. Five is existing as a blessing. Then, functioning in excellence. Excellence is the doorway to eminence and prominence in life. Excellence is doorway to eminence and prominence. Show me, see. Children of God who function in excellence, they make it easy for God to usher them to eminence. Say that again. Children of God who function in excellence make it easy for God to usher them into eminence and prominence. Those who function in mediocrity, average, they make it difficult for God. They want to make God look like he is such an unjust God to take a mediocre and place on top of excellent people. That was, if you look at the story, David, Saul was looking for an instrumentalist. And David was found. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 17. I have found a man, the son of Jesse. Saul said unto his servant, provide me a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing, a mighty valiant man, a man of war, prudent in matters, comely person, and the Lord is with him. And he says, send for me. They were looking for somebody with the requisite credential. And David was found. And as it was, there was not another person better than David. And God said, why not? It's your type I am looking for. And he positioned him there. Daniel also was like that. Daniel chapter 6 verse 1 to 3. He had the spirit of excellence. And he was placed above his contemporaries because he was far better than them. Hallelujah. Look at somebody by the side and said, make it easy for God to take you to the top. Make it easy for God. Hallelujah. Is God speaking to anybody here? If you're a medical doctor, be the star. I once met a medical doctor, very, very good in ultrasound, and God helped him to literally conquer a whole territory in diagnostics. I said to him, how did you do it? He said, he takes himself to anywhere there is training in the world, he takes himself there. He will pay for the training, $5,000, $4,000, whatever be the amount. While others were struggling to make money, he paid for himself there. He said he went to a country in Asia and sat under a man who had 6 PhDs. In ultrasound scanning. 6. Maybe a PhD in abdominal pelvic ultrasound, another PhD in thoracic ultrasound, another PhD in central nervous system, or a cranial. All of, 6 PhDs and sat under him and learnt. And came home and God took him up as a star. One officer in our church, a policeman, he was always in either United Nations peacekeeping force here, or so and so there, or so and so here, until there was envy and jealousy in his office. And he said, I should pray for him. I said, there is so much envy and jealousy. Then he said something, but it is not my fault. I said, what happened? He said, every time they want to send people for some courses, that there are some that will actually dodge. Maybe anti-terrorism course. Maybe so-and-so course. Maybe so-and-so. Maybe some rugged, frightening course. And he will present himself for all of them. Then when the time comes and they say, who wants to send somebody to so-and-so place? Who has such qualification? He said, I have. And they will check. And that took him to the top. Am I communicating? I met a lawyer, PhD, senior advocate of Nigeria. He said he was in a court one day as a young lawyer doing court attachment. And he saw a big senior advocate, the number one senior advocate of Nigeria, the number one. He's not alive now. I'm sure you remember him. But I wrote to me, Williams or something. The number one. That one was in court. And then there was another lawyer who they were talking, how they confront each other. And that one was telling the judge that this one is ignorant of the law in this matter. Then that one stood up and said, I was called to the bar so and so here. I have a master's in law in this discipline. I have a PhD in law in so and so discipline, your Lord. And on top of that, I am a senior advocate of this noble profession. Can such a man be termed ignorant? The young lawyer said that entered his head. Young boy in law. He said, me too. So that nobody will call me ignorant. I will do everything and get a master's and get a PhD and get a senior advocate. You know what he did? He will go and apply. He will go and take cases from people. He said, give me cases to do. I will pay for it myself. I will pay filing. I will pay everything. Appeal court cases, Supreme Court cases. I will pay for it from my pocket. His wife said, are you mad? You go and take other people's cases and pay for it to do. He said, I know what I'm doing. Long story made short, he reached that realm and became in demand. He's a child of God, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, a leader in his church. Make it easy. Don't be on the ground there and say, Lord, I want to become the chief executive officer of this company. Lord, I want to be the chief financial officer of this organization. I want to be the CFO. I want to be the principal accountant. And they say, what do you have? You say, I have one certificate in banking and finance. Another certificate in purchasing and supply. I have also an OND in accounting. So, I think I'm qualified. Then God said, you want me to carry you with your certificate in banking and finance, certificate in purchasing and supply, OND in accounting, and place you on top of this guy. He is chartered accountant, has a master's in business administration finance, and has been working here for 12 years. I should put you on top of him. What kind of God do you think I am? But if you were the one who has that level, and even if there is somebody that is at par with you, God say, I can take you up because you have excelled in your realm. Am I communicating? Look at your neighbor, say, make it easy for God. I believe in miracles, but I don't believe in magic. There are people, what they are asking God to do is not miracle, it is magic. Abracadabra, shortly. Somebody say amen. As I have said, life is a seed. Listen, when you sow the seed of excellence, you reap the harvest of eminence. Listen. When you sow and when you sow the seed of mediocrity, you must reap the harvest of obscurity. Life must be obscure. You'll be struggling. That is, you drag your feet to do everything. You do things